Hello, everyone. I am Phil Svitek, joined alongside Tony Becerra. Say hi to the people.
Hello, people. I'm Tony.
And the two of us, we love movies. That's our qualification. And so we talk movies. And today we're talking Voyagers. We're going to be talking spoilers and all that stuff. So if you have not seen it, well, I would tune out. Or if you just don't care, wave your hands and join us.
Right? Or if you want to know if it's worth watching, I'll tell you right now, not really.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, I'm of the same nature, so I expand upon that a little bit without spoilers, I guess, and then I'll give my thoughts and we'll get into the spoiler stuff.
Well, I don't think this is a spoiler because I've seen this already used in certain reviews for the film, but I immediately caught on to the film and what it was doing, which was Lord of the Flies in space. So that's like the best tagline I could give this movie. If you're of interest, if any of that tickles your pickle, you should go watch this movie. But okay, now on to my overall thoughts. So, I mean, I don't even know where to go with this. I don't know. I mean, this feels like a tale as old as time. I feel like I've seen this before, not done in this way, but I've seen this story play out multiple times to the point where every story beat was like, I could predict it. And very few things, like, shocked me. And it was just overall very bland and kind of dull overall. I was kind of...
Stop touching me, Tony.
Hey, how come he gets to touch her?
We'll talk about that. For those of you, that's a little mild spoiler / inside joke, but continue.
Yeah, I mean, like, the overall premise as to why they're in space is very similar. Like, so similar that I saw it literally weeks ago when I was watching Chaos Walking. Hey, guess what? Humans fucked up the world. Now they have to go on a space conquest to go fuck up another planet. But instead of, like, you know, the whole thing with Chaos Walking is once they land, complications arise. But this one, it's more like before they even land, complications arise, mainly because of horny teenagers. And I was just like, yeah, okay. Like, I get what it's going for, but the acting, I don't know. I think the acting overall was pretty good, but for some reason, there's, like, this weird trend where there's, like, a lot of, like, space movies involve very sad humans or very, like, very just, like, stunted humans with no personality traits.
I think that's dystopia in general, but continue.
Well, that's... Okay, that makes more sense, and that's exactly what you'll find here. A lot of characters with barely any character to them, you know? You'll only recognize who each character is by their face, and yeah. To be honest with you, though, to get into the more weeds of things, I found Zach to be the most interesting because he had the most personality, and because he was the horniest. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I mean, fair enough.
But yeah, overall, I think this was a dull film. I think it could have done more. Because it didn't really have much going for it. Like, it should have leaned into more maybe the shock value. I did like certain things when... We're full tilt spoilers, right? I did like the
whole... I mean, I guess. I haven't even said my piece, but sure, go ahead.
My bad. Oh, okay, I'll leave it at that. We'll go into the nitty gritty. My bad, you should stop me. Go ahead. What'd you think of the movie? It sounds like you kind of agree with me.
Yeah, I agree with you overall, I think. It definitely, obviously, it's kind of been there, done that. But the interesting part for me is I actually did appreciate some of those moments. And like you said, like, I wish it leaned into certain things more. Like, there was definitely a creepiness factor throughout, and then it just wouldn't go there. If it's like, okay, Lost, if it's like Lord of the Flies with horny kids that are exploring their sexuality, we didn't get enough of the horniness. And I'm not saying, like, I needed this to be, like, a porno, but, like, it tried to go down too many avenues without ever committing to one thing or another. And overall, like, I didn't think it was that bad of a movie. However, at the end, when, like, the whole point was this philosophical thing of, like, you know, down the line, are we gonna ultimately appreciate, you know, are you going to do something for your own survival or are you going to do it for your grandkids type of thing, right? That was the kind of the thing of it all. And the movie just kind of ends and then boom, it's like, we got rid of Zach. So now we're all good. Now humanity can survive. It was just one rotten apple that was fucking it for the rest of us.
Yeah. We got rid of Trump, everybody. So now we're all good, right? We got good old Joe. We got good old Christopher in the lead, you know? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's all... I mean, we have to take it... Put it into context, right? This is a PG-13 film. This was, I believe, at least to my best guess, targeted at younger audiences, mainly teenagers, you know? So I can see why they couldn't commit to the whole creepiness factor, the whole like very sexual teens going on. But there was so much more they could have commit to, in my opinion. Like, for instance, the whole blue water, you know, basically kind of like our own fluoride, the fluoride of the film, basically. Right. I know a lot of conspiracy theories are going to love that.
sure.
But there's this blue drink that they drink, right, if you remember that. And that keeps them very docile and very non-horny. it kind of restricts, in a sense, like their own humanity, you know? It restricts, like, their
It restricted the flashes of the insanity of, like, lions and tigers and oh my...
Oh my god, dude, I forgot about that.
Like, every time they
explain that to the viewers, because, oh, I don't know if...
Oh, I mean, of course, we're in spoilers, but, like, yeah, I mean, talk about, like, again, there's just certain choices that were made, this being one of them.
That's baffling, dude.
Like, I understand, like, okay, so the blue water suppresses all their emotions, for lack of a better term, but it's like, as soon as they stopped, it was like, how do you feel? And then, boom... In order for us to, like, show how they felt, they just showed these random flat... Like, if you're epileptic, good luck, I guess. It just showed all these random images of humanity at its worst, at slash best, like war, atom bombs, but also lions fucking killing tigers and elephants. Like, I can't even describe everything that was there, but it was just this overload all within, like, a 5-second, you know, quick burst. And it's like, dude, I got it. You know, see the movie?
And they did it multiple times too.
Oh, multiple times. Like, you ever see what's the Christian Bale movie Equilibrium? You ever see that movie?
Yes, I have seen it. I only seen it once though, so I don't remember much. I remember main plot line.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not gonna get into it. I'm not gonna spoil it. But basic premise is in order to have a perfect utopia, as they would argue in the movie, they have to suppress people's emotions, right? And so they were very docile. So, you know, that's just kind of a trope of, you know, in order to have this utopia, you have to, like, make humans into, like, these machines / robots. But yeah.
Subservient beings, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. So, but yeah, just the burst of all this crap, it was just way too much. So, but you said, so you're on the Zach train, huh? You wanna go ahead and get horny, huh?
I mean, I just found him to be the most interesting because everyone else is so fucking boring to me, you know? Like, I guess, what was that one, Johnny Depp, you know, Junior, Miss Junior over here? She was pretty interesting, but she was also a little boring to see on screen. She barely had any expressions to give with her face. Like, I kind of like the whole Zach going full tilt, super crazy, horny teenager mode, you know? And he went full Trump, too, like... he just had the most, in my opinion, more interesting most like interesting thing to do in the film. Lily Rose Depp, you know, child of Johnny Depp, and I forgot some French lady, I believe. But yeah, I mean I liked his acting. His name was Fionn Whitehead. I like
very apropos. No, but okay, you know, let me ask you this. Like, I didn't think any one of them ultimately was this savant of goodness, right? Like, it's not like Sela was amazing because, like, you know, she didn't quote unquote follow the rules. She let Colin Farrell, touch her, which wasn't supposed to be protocol. And Chris, he kind of, you know, he was this quiet leader, but he also withheld, you know, information here and there. So each of them weren't as honest as they could have been. And like that to me was the crux of it, of there was just no honesty. But that didn't end up being the saving grace. What ended up being the saving grace was, let's just drink the blue water again. And that's what's going to save humanity. Over to you.
I mean, the whole touch with Sela and on the shoulder, I think, dude, that's fine. I mean, I didn't. That's just like, you know, Colin Farrell being kind of like a father figure to all of them in a sense, you know. It's whatever. I didn't think that was that big of a deal. Tyshirt plays Christopher. I saved myself there. Christopher, he did withhold information here and there. And you can see why he did so. I think there was some strategy behind it, because he was on the verge of losing, like, you know, full-on mutiny, and to the point where it does become a full-on mutiny, and he kind of withholds information in the sense where, like, I think he tries to use it as leverage. I can't really even remember, to be honest, what information he withheld, but he did play it, I think. I mean, the biggest one being, you know, when he shows everyone the tape of what Zach did. And do they end up drinking the blue water at the end of the film? Drinking the water.
No, they at the end, at the very end, when they have that little montage and so forth, they're all drinking the blue water.
Really? See, this is how much I cared for this movie. I just tuned it out by that point. I remember zooming down the hall and seeing our characters grow old in really weird CGI.
Yeah. Well, the reason I paid so much attention was because I was like, okay, what is this movie gonna say? Right? Because it when you kind of open up Pandora's box in this way, you're trying to say something. And so I wanted to know, like, how are they going to resolve this? You know, the movie plays out pretty much in real time.
Here's kind of like what I got from it, where I feel like the movie is trying to say, which basically it's kind of, I think it's like along the lines of nature versus nurture, where it's all like, hey, let's take these humans that don't come from actual people. I mean, they come from people, right? But not raised in the old-fashioned way, right? They're raised in a facility to exact a certain mission. They are raised for this particular reason, right? So it's all like, so it's kind of like, do they still go full-tilt human batshit crazy and fuck shit up? While not even being a part of like the actual normal way of being raised. Does that make sense? You know, like, is our human nature innate to us, embedded in our DNA, to the point where when we stop drinking the Kool-Aid, we'll go back to just destroying ourselves? You get me? Like, can perfect humans be made to like carry out this mission? And it turns out, like, not without the blue drink, you know, not without the fucking fluoride in our water, not without the Kool-Aid. Like, we can't, because this is our humanity's last hope, right? This is humanity's last fucking hope, and guess what's going to bring it down? Some horny teenagers, you get me? Going through puberty, like, which is we're assuming these kids are going through, is the most, like, emotional and the most influential and, like, very, like, most rampant points in our lives, you know? We can't get away with the shit we do when we're teenagers, when we're adults, you get me? And I think there's a point in the movie where it's like, it's really going to show, like, hey, like, this is our last hope for humanity. They weren't raised in the similar way that you and I might have been raised. They weren't raised like anyone else on the planet was raised. They were raised to survive in space. Generations, basically, or like to raise a generation in space, and it's like showing, like, even without the worldly bullshit to influence their minds, I feel like still our human nature will always show and be there, unless we are subdued by the you know, the blue drink or something. Along the line, do you see what I'm getting at?
I mean certainly the movie has that, and to me that was the kind of the fascinating point. I was like, okay, what are they going to do with this? Because at the end of the day, you know, whether you're on a spaceship and whatever, it's like, we're all going to die. There is this big existential crisis of what do you do in the time that you're here? It's like, I mean, okay, in some sense, they're better off because at least they know their purpose. They have to procreate and, you know, have these kids versus like, you know, Tony, why are you here on this earth? It's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So, it, or like, same thing Rude. With me. Well, no, I'm just saying in general.
No, like, I'm kidding. I'm like, kidding. No.
It tries to tackle these very deep and meaningful things. It just, like, it tries to do too much in too many different places. And like I said, I mean, ultimately, the fact that it plays out pretty much in real time, but it's also trying to tackle the question of longevity. You know, yeah, it's certainly, I mean, in some sense, I was, when I was waiting, like the whole, like, remember when Colin Farrell, he dies and there's like this little black thing?
Dude, I thought that was also the most interesting part until they just said it was bullshit. But yeah, I was like, I love me some alien shit. And then I was excited at that point when I was like, there's an alien? What? Colin Farrell died? What? Even though I saw that he was kind of burned, but I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to ignore that, you know? And then it turns out it was motherfucking Zach, and I got so disappointed in the movie because I was like, maybe I don't know what this movie is. Maybe there is an alien and these fucking kids are going to get offed, and maybe this is like some weird sci-fi alien slasher flick, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it leaned towards the fun, it definitely would have been a lot better of a movie, but in some sense, I was just kind of waiting for Matthew McConaughey from Interstellar to come on in and be like, yo, you guys trying to save humanity too? Me too, son. Let's go.
All right, all right, all right. I go older, but the women stay the same.
Yeah, that's a deep cut reference right there.
Dazed and Confused. Get it? Because they're all teenagers.
I get it. Yeah, and you know, at some parts, it definitely got brutal in a lot of ways, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it tried to touch upon, like, social justice. Like, you know, they had, to some degree, a diverse, you know, spaceship of, like, you had black guys and girls. You had, you know, Asians.
Yeah.
You know, and I at least appreciate that when they kind of split up into two factions, it wasn't, like, whiteys versus everyone else, you know?
Oh, yeah, that would have been too on the nose. I would have fucking been so mad. Yeah, there was this one point where they killed like that kind of like, he might have been Middle Eastern or Indian dude, and I got so mad, I was like, fuck this movie, and I left the theater to go use the restroom. I was like, whatever. Can I quickly just harken back? I like what you brought up. I like the fact that you say that, you know, these are humans that were literally born with a purpose, and yet that purpose is not enough for them to be like, why should we live? Our lives don't matter. We are born just to die. Fuck this bullshit. And I was just like, you selfish fucking pricks. Like, like, you, the fact that you were born with a fucking purpose handed to you in this life, and you're like, I don't want it. They're basically like, without the blue drink, they become these free thinkers, man. These scourge of humanity. How dare they think
well,
so freely?
See, that's I think that's a good point right there, because again, it's no different ultimately than the human condition as is, right? And this idea that, you know, we want to be free. It's like, free to do what? Like, free to kill each other? Free to, like, just
run around the hallways? Free to touch each other? Remember that one hoe? That one girl that was just getting it from everybody?
Hey, listen, I'm not going to slut shame anyone. You know,
hey.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like, you know, ultimately, it's like, what was missing from your life? And so I think, ironically, like, that the truth does lie somewhere in the middle, and that's why I am surprised that they did drink the blue drink at the end, because, you know, maybe they just knew that humans just suck and you have to take this blue drink, but it's like, I think they could have had done away without the blue drink and still been civilized.
But I think the blue drink kind of symbolizes like morality, you know. It's kind of like, in a sense, maybe like religion, where it's like, you know, you drink the Kool-Aid, you're committing to following a certain set of guidelines of how you live your life.
You mean get circumcised?
And Sure, that too, I guess. Did they get circumcised?
No, I'm just kidding. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's metaphorical in the sense that you drink the blue drink, you know, you don't want to use your wee wee.
Sure. Well, like the Jews, I guess. I don't know. But you get what I'm saying? It's like, it's kind of like, you know, it's in a sense like, it's like a, I guess like a social agreement that they had to like acknowledge and be like, hey, virtually in space, we don't have any rules to abide by. We make our own rules and we have to enforce our own rules. And without it, there's disorder and chaos. Drink this fucking blue drink, you know, guzzle it down your throat. Like, it's so that we can keep our mission alive, because we are the last hope for humanity. You get me?
Yeah.
I think it was a necessity to drink the blue drink, unfortunately. But there's hope in me where it's like, once they get to the planet, they stop drinking that and they let themselves
kill each other and run around freely, with guns.
I mean, really be who they need to be. At least by this point, they procreated to the point where they can't extinct each other. You know, they can't go at it. They can't
fuck each other. At least they'll fuck over the new planet. Is that what you're saying?
They won't kill each other off, but they probably, yeah, will, you know, will damage. I don't know, dude. But yeah. This movie.
I mean, there is some sort of reading of it, like the fact that, like, the I'll call them Gen 3, right? The grandkids, you know, their present was the weapons, because clearly they're just going to need to kill off everything that they come in contact with on this new planet.
So, yeah, I know. That's kind of true.
Of course. That's the only way to go to a new planet is to go with force and weaponry.
Just in case, dude. Just in case, man. They saw Avatar, you know? They're like, we need to do that.
I mean, Avatar is all about the peaceful. Again, the invasive species were the humans. And look what happened. If they didn't have guns, that's what escalated it for these mofos, was the fact that they did have guns and then they start shooting each other.
It is a very bleak point of view in humanity that doesn't really solve. Nor does it, I feel like it cares to solve our innate nature of, you know, kind of, there's a part of us. Yeah, there's like a part of us that's fucking self-destructive. There's a part to being a human where we want to fucking destroy ourselves on an individual level and on a more collective. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing the fucking things that we do. You know, we wouldn't be destroying the planet the way that we are doing, and entail destroying ourselves. There's a certain innate, like, part of us that are we're so fucking self-destructive toward each other. You know, ask any person who likes to drink why they like to drink. Ask any person like who has a bad vice why they like that vice, and you'll get a glimpse as to why it happens. But it's just I think it's something that is innately human. It's hard to go above and beyond that, and there are very few of us that get past that stage of our own self-destruction and come out alive, and definitely not unscathed, but we come out alive and wiser for our own self-destruction, through our own self-destructive ways. You get me?
I get you. I just, and again, I like that, like you harped on at the beginning, this is a tale as old as time of like, okay, our inner nature as humans is kind of shitty. And so, I don't know, I was just looking, I guess, for something a little bit more hopeful than, well, I guess the way to save us is to drink this blue magical potion that makes us so docile.
Drugs! It's drugs! We gotta take drugs, everybody! Drugs!
I mean, in some sense, I think if, you know, I mean, certainly Bogart...
Make drugs legal!
Well, they're making pot legal, you know, and yeah, the whole notion that Bogart said, the problem with the world is everyone is a drink behind. Certainly another round hinges upon that whole thing.
Hey, dude, that's a fucking movie. That's a movie that kind of does go into it. I mean, our own self-destructive nature when it comes to our fetishization of, you know, drinking and how, like, oh man, isn't drinking so fun? And it's like, bitch, I wake up with a hangover. That shit hurts. I always wake up with the taste of regret in my mouth. It's like, sometimes it's not all fun.
Yeah, but the
game.
First and the second part are amazing. I'm not just going to stop something because of what happens at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Mitch Hedberg joke, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch, do you want an apple? No, eventually be a core. That's the full joke. Anyway, any final thoughts on the cinema score of this movie is a C. So we'll call it any final thoughts on this C movie.
Don't go see it in theaters. Wait for this shit to be on like some fucking streaming platform eventually. If you're even an ounce of curious, if you're an A-list member of AMC and you're fortunate enough to go to a theater yourself and watch it, or if it's on premium VOD, honestly, I wouldn't pay to go watch this movie. Yeah, I wouldn't pay to go watch this movie. I don't even find it that like remotely interesting. I think there's other movies that have done this better. Go watch those films. Go watch High Life. I think that touches upon this film pretty closely. Not gonna lie, so I haven't seen it, but just by hearing about that movie, I think it.
I think they're very similar. I know it's good. Yeah,
I think they're very similar. I have a very good feeling about it. You know what? I'm gonna watch High Life.
Good,
and I'll tell you
report back next week.
Sounds good to me, boss. All right, how about you? Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'll say this. On the plus side, like, I think it does have a great cast. I commend everyone there commits, and I'd be curious to know, like, what kind of went on through there. They must have known, like, just, you know, you mentioned that, like, I not that you said this exactly, but the idea that I was making too much of, like, the touchingness aspect of, you know, certainly Colin Farrell and Lily Rose Depp, but the reason I made such a big deal of it is because the movie made such a big deal of it, you know? And so the fact that, like, every one of these actors allowed themselves to kind of be put into this and, you know, I commend them for really going full force with this movie. And I really want to know, like, did they know the movie that they were in or did they not, you know? But yeah.
Yeah.
Kudos to them either way.
I agree with you. I think the acting is pretty good. I think everyone did fully commit to the acting and to the story. Some more than others. You know, my boy Zach Whitehead, good old Mr. Whitehead over there. I just found it the most interesting. But yeah, I agree with you. I think they all committed. Who knows what they, you know, what they were fed as actors. But yeah, overall, it's whatever for me. Sorry, I know you were doing yours.
No, I mean, it is, you know, I mean, the cinema score is a C. It's got a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's not like, you know, that this is breaking new ground. But, I mean, it's one of those things like, you know, when I see a movie like this, the biggest thing that I'm disheartened by is the fact that it could have been good. Like, it had things to make it good, and you know, you take away certain things, elevate others in just a little bit of a way, and you know, you just mix the blue drink just a little bit different, and you got a good movie on your hands, you know. But
yep, I agree. There were elements of the making of a great movie, and it just didn't really come together that way, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think what it has to say is so unclear that it makes it even a little uninteresting even trying to figure out what the film had to say about the things. We can pick apart, you know, how we did certain elements of it, but like you said, it doesn't commit all the way to fully say anything realized about humanity. It's more like it's like a sloppy Rorschach test, really, that's not even worth looking at. You get me?
Yeah. And I felt uncomfortable of, like, I mean, at its core, is humanity, like, just guys will always feel women are their property? And, you know, I just felt like there was definitely, like, I don't know, I don't want to get too far into this, but, like, just this hints of, like, rape culture and so forth. And I was like, is this where the movie's kind of going with a lot of this shit? Like, it just...
Yeah.
It definitely...
Just really toxic relationships. Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, the movie might not have been that great, but I had a fun time talking about it with you. So, but if people want to continue the conversation, Tony, where can they interact with you on the good old internets?
I mean, if you want to find me, I guess I'm gonna.
Oh wait, don't you? So enthusiastic.
Me, I know. I was like, I doubt anyone will, but like, yeah, you can find me on Instagram. On yeah, find me on Instagram at Tony B Tony, T O N Y, the letter B as in boy, and then T O E K N E E, like your toe on your knee, Tony. How about you, Phil?
There you go. I'll keep it simple for you. It's at Phil Svitek everywhere. Tony and I are here on Clubhouse every Wednesday, 8 p.m., talking about a new movie coming down the pipeline. Not next week, but down the pipeline, we will have Mortal Kombat. Really excited to talk to Tony about that. So if you want to join us for the live discussions, you can join us 8 p.m. Wednesdays on Clubhouse. That's Pacific time. But if you can't, that's okay. Tune in after the fact and, you know, just drop us a comment in the thing or hit us up on social media. And guess what, Tony?
What?
We out.